We're here with one of my favorite people, Marlene Forte, who also actually known also by her family probably as Ana.
Ana, Marlene Forte Machado, to be exact.
And for those of you who've been watching Fear of the Walking Dead, the last three episodes of this last season I thought was fantastic, especially the last episode where that dialogue between you and Ruben, this character Daniel, was so, I mean, it was all in Spanish, but it was so good.
It was delicious. It was like a delicious piece of pie, warm with ice cream on top. He's amazing. He's one of the most generous actors I've ever worked with, doing a scene with him. That's to stop up with. And he's Ruben Blades. Hello. He's like a genius, right? Hello. Pedro Navaja, the whole deal. Crossover dreams. I mean, Panama. The whole...
He should have been president,
man. I know. I would have voted for him. Somebody had tweeted voting for Celia Flores for president.
Well, that character, man. It's just...
They wrote a beauty.
Yeah. And I know you can't say anything or whatever, but, you know, God, I hope she comes back.
We don't know. The truth is, we don't even know. You know. We don't know. Ruben doesn't know.
Yeah.
The cast doesn't know. I've been doing this a long time, and we don't know until we read the script and we're like, oh shit, we're dead. Especially some of, you know, the shows have gotten lost, and J.J. Abrams started this whole new. You know, now it's like dum 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 dum.
It's also precious.
I mean, try to like audition. They changed the names. I didn't know my name. My name on the script on the sides was Carmen, which is the part I played in Dallas.
Exactly.
So I was like, oh man, is she gonna be called Carmen? But so it's, you know, it makes our job harder. I really do think that. Mm-hmm. I understand because of this whole new media thing why the secrecy now is, so, you know, it was so much easier before to keep things, you know, under wrap.
That's true.
Now it's really hard. So I understand that too, but it does make our job a little harder, I think. But
keeps Celia you guessing every moment.
It keeps me goddamn guessing, that's for sure.
So when you went in for this part, I mean, what did they tell you that they wanted you to bring to it? I mean,
well, they had pieced together two scenes. The scene with Nicolas, mm-hmm. which is that the first time that they meet, which is another brilliantly written scene, and the scene where he brings back my son. What do you see? You know, so it was a very long script, a long scene mm-hmm. for an audition. Usually, you know, it was like eight mm-hmm. pages. It was a long and chunky dialogue. I did two auditions and then I had a work session because the other thing is I didn't even know where this character was going. Like, I knew it would be a recurring, but I didn't know how many times it would recur. I didn't know the type of arc she would have. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was it. Just this great, chunky, beautiful scene, which was amazing. Yes. I didn't know who I would be acting with because the names were changed. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know. Now, I was familiar with the show because Elizabeth Rodriguez, who plays Lisa, is a very good friend of mine from Labyrinth.
I love Elizabeth.
I know. Elizabeth. Is that the new black? She's just killing it right now. Now she's going to be Wolverine. Whatever. She's on fire, that one. So I had watched the zombie thing for her because I was a little skeeved out about zombies. And it, you know, it was so funny. It took me booking the show to realize where, because I am a person who actually likes scary movies. Mm-hmm. I like suspense movies. I'm not much into gore, which maybe I thought maybe that's why I didn't like the zombie movies. But I got to tell you, I am completely hooked on The Walking Dead right now. I'm like, come on, bring it. When's the next one coming? But it all happened for me. I binged watched it while I was shooting in 3 weeks while shooting basically Fear. So I was familiar with the Fear because of Elizabeth. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, a little, but I didn't know the whole Walking Dead thing. And it dawned on me that when I was about 10 or 11 years old, I watched the original Walking Dead at like 3 a.m. I've always been a TV junkie. I love TV. I just do. That's why I make a living on TV, because I know it, right? But it was I was a little bit of an insomniac when I was a kid, so I would get up in the middle of the night and be awake. So it was 3:30 a.m. in the middle of the night. I turn on this TV and there's this great black and white scary movie, and I am like, this is going to be great. Well, it scarred me for life. I have not been able to watch another zombie movie ever since. Let me tell you, none of the remakes. I don't want to be buried. I was like, I want to be cremated because I don't want to come back as a zombie. I don't want to come out of the grave and eat. No. So, and it took me, but watching The Walking Dead knocked that shit right out of me. I was hooked. Like a crack hoe. I was like, I want more. I would go work 12 hours, get home and watch 3 episodes a night to get up and do another 12.
That's to show you when it's a good show.
Yeah.
It can get you.
It
can get that angst, that whatever you have about. Yeah. No, I've personally, I love Dracula movies.
I love those things.
Good or bad. Personally, I think the worst ones are Filipino ones dubbed in English.
You've done more research than me.
But I used to watch these at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God, dubbed in English. That's when they play them, you know. That's when they play those scary ones.
Yeah. I guess the mouth would move.
Yeah.
And then you would hear.
And then two words would come out. Oh Lord. La, 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 la. Right?
The whole zombie thing, you would figure it could get, kind of overdone. But with The Walking Dead, it's just such a good show.
Well, the writing,
show,
I think, has a lot to do with it. These guys have really good writers. Fear, The Walking Dead, really good producers who are character-driven producers, female producers.
They're fans.
So the characters that they're creating are people, like, you get to know these people and you get to care about these people Carol, all those characters are like, come on, you want to, I'm like, I think I'm ready for the apocalypse. I think I can survive.
You survive.
I swear to God, I do.
Celia somehow ended up having quite a following. People are really,
It was such a great female character too, and it was the first. They had some antagonist people that they met along the line, but it was the first one that really, right? And they had to deal with her and her followings and her cult and whatever she was creating in this new reality, And I always say, even in my background. I always create backgrounds for the actors, is that for me, for Marlene, Celia was trying to figure it out too. She doesn't have all the answers. That's why she's got them downstairs. She's feeding them through the chute. She's feeding doggies, puppies back there and, keeping the family together. They have family time together and they talk to each other.
I think that's the key word right there, is the whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for The Walking Dead, to all of it, I think it becomes
family.
It's
family.
And I think that's what drives these shows, and that's why everybody, and it's so funny because, my dad, God bless my Cuban old 78-year-old dad, he's been trying to get me to watch The Walking Dead from the first season.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, Pop, it's the zombie thing. He's like, it's not about the dead things. It's not about the zombies. That's just where they are. It's just what's happening. And I was like, okay. And he, it was so funny when I booked it, he fell to the ground. I've been just doing this for 21 years, Angela. I've been working with some really big people. And this was the one that my dad was like, oh my God, you've made it.
Isn't family funny?
Oh my God. It's so. And my mother, who would never watch, only watches novela, she's trying to get me back on Univision in a novela. That, for her, I will have made it. It's very confusing in that house.
Well, I personally, I'm hoping that when they come back, that there will be Celia and Daniel are still battling app.
Yeah. I wanted to start a hashtag, save Celia and Daniel. Come on. Don't right. you think? I mean, Celia said to her, to Daniel, I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah, you did.
Some Twitter people were like, oh, man, I thought they'd be a cute little old lady for Daniel. And then now it looks like they're going to kill each other. Little did they know.
He was like, yeah. That was the thing. That was the thing about it was that, I mean, I was hooked because I was like, okay, there's something. There's something about her. There's something about her.
Yeah, they did that beautifully. Yeah, and you mentioned too that I want to talk about is the Spanish. You know, all those beautiful scenes in Spanish. It's, I think that's very brave for AMC to do it. And let me tell you, it was written like that, word for verb. I wasn't asked to translate it. It was written in that beautiful rhythm. It was written like that. So it was such a treat.
Well, you know, for us who are bilingual, you know, to listen to good dialogue in English and good dialogue in Spanish is just and the way, the back and forth that you guys went was just sort of like I stopped what I was doing and I just sat there.
Oh, yay. I just sat there. I love that. And watched I'm it. Sure Ruben would love that too.
Well, of course, I have to, you know, you're always popping up here and there. You know, I saw the episode with you in NCIS New Orleans.
Last holiday.
Yeah. And I went, there she is.
I pop up whenever you least expect it.
Yes. And you might be popping up, too, in this new season of Fosters.
That's been ongoing now for a couple seasons, and that's a beautiful... I like the show. I've supported it. That's my cat, for those of you that are listening.
Hi.
This is Cheese. I'm going to introduce him because he's my... 18-year-old grumpy cat who's just going to put his 2 cents in.
Hi, Cheese.
I'm going to sit here and try to rub him so he's quiet.
The Fosters?
The Fosters, I love working with Doni Plana, and I love working with Sierra Ramirez. I played her grandmother before on Secret Life, so that was... I like that the networks think we look good together, obviously.
I think that was my introduction to her. Was the Secret Life?
That's another one to watch out for. These young people around you. I don't know when I became the old broad on the set, Angela. I don't know.
You're never gonna be the old broad on the set. You're gonna be right.
But I am digging the roles that are coming my way.
Speaking about another role, I just saw an independent film, I Am Gangster.
Oh yes.
You're scary.
Yeah, I like these new scary roles that are coming by.
I mean, this is no Celia.
There's a little Celia in there, too, huh?
There's a shot of you, and you have that cigarette, and you're talking, and you...
yeah, that was the hardest part of that movie. I just smoked like a chimney, that character, and I... used to smoke in my 20s. Now in my 50s, I don't like to smoke.
I can't stand the smell myself.
Yeah, it's enough. But that was another nice role. You know, these roles that are kind of popping up. Believe it or not, that came before Celia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was shooting Dallas, my last season of Dallas when we shot that movie.
Well, I forget. I mean, because we never know when things are going to show up.
So, and it's a movie, so you know those take a little bit longer. Exactly. It was also interesting to work on that because there were a lot of non-actors. You know, the boy who plays Lito, my son who I have killed.
Right.
There was a scene that he took out of that, but it's very clear that I have that hit done.
I think most people think it was
a scene that we're like, oh no, she did it, but he decided to leave it up for that boy. You know, that boy is from the hood, and he works with Father Boyle, and he's getting his life together.
Homeboy
industry. So we had a lot of real boys that were from it, you know.
Yeah.
So that mix was really interesting to work in, and we rehearsed, and it was. The character in that Tia was a little scary. So that was my precursor to Celia. But even my auditions, you know, something like that with fear, when you get once the once you get seen in a character mm-hmm. like that, it's such a treat for an actor. Because what happens is now they will take, you get more auditions like that. So whether I'm working in it or not, I'm actually working in auditions like that and in material like that, which is so
well, you know, well, you and I have spoken before that, I mean, you've played so many types of roles over the years, but it's just, it, you know, and for me, because I'm a little biased, you're always good.
But it is
nice to see you do these roles that are just, each one gets more interesting and more better, and it's just kind of like...
Yeah, maybe it comes with age, you know, I don't know. I think also it's I think the success of older women on TV. Oh my God! But success like The Closure and mm-hmm. Major Crimes and success like that.
Yes.
Which, you know, they're not, these are not women who are in their 20s anymore. These are women who have children, adult children. And I think the success of shows like that has opened up a whole new...
Major Crimes is one of my favorite
I got to do a little thing on that, too.
And
see that? I pop up whenever you least expect it. Like a warp.
So what... Well, do you have anything else that we're... I mean, because I know you produce and things like that. You producing anything?
I have some
anything,
things going on right now. Well, I'm doing an indie movie next week, a short called Irving, which is just a delightful, mm-hmm. You know, movie that mm-hmm. short. So, you know, we'll see it in 2 years. I also am working with Judy Reyes and Rosalind Sanchez on... The Sound of Gold thing and La Golda. I've done several voices on it, and I love what they're doing.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing things like this. It's the cartoon and the whole idea of bringing it to kids in grammar schools to deal with things like racial bias, like, you know, inequality of women and, you know, men. I mean, things that people don't deal with when children are in grammar school.
No.
Bullying, that's
exactly.
a big deal, but... Excuse me, but so I'm very excited about working with them. I've been doing more and more of that on my downtime with them, and I am, you know, I like to do a play a year. I did Luis's thing at the Getty last year.
Yes.
And now
I'm
this
sorry,
year.
Sorry, I apologize. I wanted to make it, and I just couldn't make it.
You know, if you can see that play, of course. I think I did it fabulously. But if you can see it anywhere else, go see it because we did Oedipus el Rey, which was mm-hmm. an adaptation of Oedipus,
mm-hmm.
and he did it, he placed it here on Pico Union, and he did it, we did it at Boston Court 4 years ago, and he deals with the prison system up mm-hmm. north. So the chorus are prison guards, and I mean, he did it in the prisoners, and he did it, he does the adaptations to modern times
right.
so beautifully. This was Medea in Los Angeles. So it was about a family crossing. And, you know, so his adaptations to make it to modern times, you know,
love
him.
It looked really good, but you know how our schedules
No, theater,
are,
and also it was up at the Getty.
Exactly.
That was a little bit, I know. We got people from the north to come and see it, but we want, you know, he should do it somewhere in more closer to the people, because he does a beautiful job. And my husband, who I am married to, a playwright, Oliver mm-hmm. Mayer, is doing an adaptation of Blood Wedding called Blood Match, which Urban Theater Movement is doing, and I'm going to play the mom in that. And she's quite, and it's modern. It takes place in Sinaloa, and it's not olive oil and olive trees. It's puppies that were harvesting. So that changes everything a little bit.
It
changes a little bit.
Book?
There's Malverde. And there's some great, music, and there's Gloria Trevi music, and there's
oh, wow.
So look forward to that. That's in the fall, and that's my onstage local for, so if you guys are out there, come and see us, please. The Urban Theater Movement. We're going to do it at the I think it's the old Lillian. I think it's where the Elephant used to be.
Oh,
I should know this, but
no,
it's at that theater there, right off of Santa Monica and like near Cahuenga down there.
Oh, okay.
Urban Theater Movement, though, is the company that's producing it. And so that's coming up in the fall. And, you know, chugging along. I'm on hold for some other stuff, but you know, I don't want to talk about anything until.
Well, no, I understand. It hits. I mean, you know. So,
I usually don't talk about it until I see it. I've been too old. I've been doing this shit too long. I don't know if I'm going to get cut out. I don't know if I'm going to be good at it. Now I tell people, oh yeah, I did the. You know, the gangster movie was the only one that I hadn't seen. I Am Gangster, and it was so funny because I was doing the press line, the press thing at the theater for the film people, and everybody that had seen it liked it. And I was like, oof, I guess I can't invite people to this one. It was like, people, you know, it's not a fun movie.
It's not, but it's real.
One
of the things that I found interesting in that film was that. I mean, you were just talking about the racial differences and you have the group who is trying so hard to do the right things, yeah. But still, just because of circumstances where you are, you're just perceived to be something that you're not.
That's right. It's where you're born, the card you're dealt with, the street you live on.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, you're just the last name you have, the family you come from. I mean, it's a very, and that movie on the page, and I'm glad, I think he did, you know, he has a very European sense of filmmaking, which I think is very dark sometimes, but it was just he made no judgment on it, was just a slice of life, and I tell people, it's 4 miles east of here, guys, this is right there on Boyle Heights, this is not somewhere in Sinaloa or somewhere in Mexico or in another country. No, this is right here. This is Los Angeles County.
Yeah, I mean, you have there's so many, unfortunately, so many places like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, my always thing is that, you know, everybody's always going with their GPS.
GPS,
And I said, you know, the GPS does not tell you what the neighborhood really is.
That's right.
So, if you're not sure, stay on the main road.
That's right. No, you're right. And when you're in cities like that, and I travel a lot, and I end up using my GPS a lot, and I've learned, I'm a woman, and I'm like, you know what? Avoid. Just keep me on the highway. Keep me on the highway. I'm not in a hurry. Because you can find yourself in
situations that you do not want to be in.
We don't know, especially if you don't know the neighborhood you're in or the state that you're in.
Well, Marlene, as usual, this was a pleasure. I just enjoyed talking to you.
I enjoyed talking to you too, Angela. And, so we have to do it more often, not only on this.
Exactly. So I hope that in a few months I'll be saying, Celia's back.
Yes, and we'll talk again.
All right.